Good morning once again, and we welcome you to the service here at Southside. And has already been mentioned, if you're visiting, we're thankful for your presence, and we hope that you'll come back at the next opportunity. We're meeting this afternoon at 3 p.m., Lord willing. We'll come back for another opportunity to worship God. And I wanted to mention at the beginning that we will be looking at the subject of God opens doors. And this congregation will grow, all congregations will grow when we talk with our friends and neighbors about the gospel, when we bring lost souls to Christ. And we will bring lost souls to Christ when we go through those open doors of opportunity that God gives us. And so we want to talk this afternoon about open doors of opportunity to talk with our neighbors about the gospel. And we hope that you can come back and join us at that time. As Doug has already mentioned, he and I have been friends for some time. We appreciate the Rausches. We are family friends going back several years, and Doug used to preach for the congregation up in Ohio, where my sister and brother-in-law still are members, and we go back with that congregation to the late 1960s when I was 3 years old, and we moved to Ohio and helped start that congregation, and then, of course, the Rausches came later. But we've known them for some time, and we appreciate them, and I'm certainly glad that they're among you and working with the church here. From time to time, I'll call Doug, and we'll be talking about Bible matters, and he's always been very encouraging to me, and I appreciate that. Appreciate the Clarks, the other members here, the elders. And I wanted to mention that my wife, Sherry, her father, Charles Goodall, and Charles Clark are, I guess, childhood friends as well up in Louisville, so we have that connection as well. And it's good to be with the good brethren here at Southside. If the rest of this week is anything like the break, the good comments and encouraging comments that you gave to me during the break, I know that it's going to be a very encouraging week. This morning, I want us to consider the ideal audience for coming together to worship God. And we're going to be, in just a moment, turning to the story of Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10. But when we consider the ideal audience and when we consider preaching, I know that many churches consider the preacher and different qualities of the preacher, and that's certainly a good thing. Maybe a congregation looking for a preacher or someone looking to move and that type of thing. And they look for qualities of a good preacher. They might consider their voice or their personality. How much Bible knowledge do they have? How much experience do they have? And so sometimes they'll look into the qualities of a preacher. And unfortunately, in the denominational world, and maybe even among some brethren, there is a desire to find a preacher who will entertain rather than be Bible-based. And there are Bible passages that let us know about the preacher and his work. And I know Doug would certainly take these things seriously, and I take these things seriously, that when something is mentioned in the Word of God with regard to the qualities of a preacher that is pleasing to God, that we certainly need to consider that. When Paul was writing to the brethren at Thessalonica, he was going back looking at those times when he was with them, and he was talking about his preaching among them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But even as we have been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who proveth our hearts. So, number one, a preacher who is Bible-based, he's going to preach the gospel. Number two, he's not interested in pleasing men, but God. And so the qualities of a good preacher are very important. Of course, we're familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, to preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. And so a Bible-based preacher. But this morning, we also want to focus on, and we want to spend our time on, the audience. And I know that this is going to be well received because of what I've already seen this morning. I've seen this morning an audience that is attentive to the things that are in the Word of God. And I'm impressed by that because what little I am able to travel and be in other places, I'm seeing more and more of a challenge with regard to the audience where we come together to focus on God's Word and their instead, there is a lot of other disruption. I think what's happening, brethren, is that we're bringing the outside to the inside. We're bringing the way we would normally do things on the outside, and we're bringing that into the church building with regard to our decorum. So on the outside, things are fun and loud and constantly moving and constantly making noise, and so then we just bring that into the church building. I think I've seen lately where the decorum in a funeral or a wedding has been better than in some church services. And so I want us to consider this morning the importance of coming together to worship God, the Almighty God of heaven, in an audience that is an ideal audience and that is pleasing to God. You know, are we looking for the qualities of a good audience? We look for the qualities of a good preacher. But do the elders get together and talk about the kind of audience that we need to have? Do men get together in a men's business meeting and get together and talk about the kind of audience that we need to have? That is just as important as the kind of preacher that we need to consider. You know, there are passages. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. I've actually developed an entire lesson just out of Nehemiah chapter 8 called The Perfect Worship Service, based upon the audience there. You know, there are Bible passages, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, that focus on the audience. Nehemiah chapter 8 is one of those. Do you remember when the temple had been rebuilt after the Babylonian captivity and the walls had been rebuilt in the days of Nehemiah? And they call Ezra together and they want him to come and preach from the Word of God. And you'll notice in Nehemiah chapter 1 in verse 8, chapter 8 verses 1 through 3, that there are some attitudes here that are good. Notice in verse 1, all the people gathered themselves together. There was unity. They called for Ezra. Notice in verse 1, they spake unto Ezra to bring the book of the law. We want to have a worship service. That's a great attitude. We want to be united together. Notice in verse 3 that he read from the word of the law from morning, early morning, until midday. They sat there for over an hour and listened to the Word of God. That speaks to a great attitude. You come on down to verse 4. They had built a pulpit of wood so that that service could be carried out in a good way. We find in verse 5 that when Ezra opened the book of the law, that when he opened it, all the people stood up. Notice the reverence and the respect for the Word of God. And then they said, Amen, and they were attentive to the things that were in the Word of God. Notice now, verses 7 and 8, that the leaders began to explain the Word of God. And the text says, verse 8, that they read in the book of the law distinctly, and they gave the sense so that they understood the reading. There was understanding. There was listening to the Word of God. And so Nehemiah chapter 8 is a great chapter on learning the good qualities of an audience. And then finally, and last but not least, verses 9 through 10, they went out and applied the Word of God in changed lives. They wanted to go out and start applying the Word of God. And so there are indeed good qualities of an audience, and we want to consider that this morning, not from this text, but from, if you'll turn with me now, Acts chapter 10. Let's look at a familiar story in the story of the conversion of Cornelius and his household. And we want to take from this text this morning some thoughts concerning the ideal audience that is pleasing to God. We're not interested in what is pleasing to us, but what is pleasing to God. And I already know that this is a good audience to be with this morning, that we've come together, that we want to come together to worship God in a fashion that is conducive to not only worship, but learning and building each other up. And I see the young people here this morning. I see the children. I see the infants. I'm encouraged. I see the church of tomorrow when I see that. And that is certainly encouraging. What are the qualities of the audience that is pleasing to God? Well, of course, we remember the story in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, that Cornelius was praying to God, and the Lord answered his prayer and told him that he was to go and send for Peter, who's in the home of Simon the tanner. And then we find, beginning in verse 9, when Cornelius' servants go out to do that, beginning in verse 9, then we see Peter's side of the story, where he sees this vision of unclean animals, and he's taught in that not to call anything common or unclean. That's setting him up to be able to receive the Gentile family known as Cornelius and his household. Verses 17 through 23, Peter and Cornelius' servants begin to match up, and they tell them how that Cornelius wants Peter to come. Then starting in verse 23 and following, Peter starts to journey towards Caesarea, and he's going to go and meet Cornelius. So I want to pick up the reading in Acts chapter 10 and verse 28. Peter says to Cornelius when he gets there, You yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself or come unto one of another nation. And yet unto me have God showed that I should not call any man common or unclean. Wherefore also I came without gainsaying when I was sent for. I ask therefore with what intent you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago until this hour I was keeping the ninth hour of prayer in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright apparel, and saith, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call unto thee Simon, who is surnamed Peter. He lodgeth in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the seaside. Forthwith, or immediately, therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present in the sight of God to hear all things that have been commanded thee of the Lord. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. And then he goes on and he preaches about Jesus Christ. And in verse 48, he and his household are baptized into Christ. What kind of audience do we have here on this occasion? And what kind of audience do we have when we come together each first day of the week? This is the Lord's Day. And our brother has already prayed in his prayer about the audience and us coming together to listen and to be attentive and to worship God. And we sang in our song for the Lord's Supper that upon the first day of the week, though others may forsake the Lord, yet we're going to be here. We saw on the way coming up an individual driving his remodeled late 60s Mustang, very proud of that, and hauling that to some car show, no doubt, today. And there are going to be many people who are going to forsake the Lord on the first day of the week. They've got their cars, and they've got their sports, and things like that. And they're very proud of that. Not driving it, but hauling it on a trailer. And we've put a lot of money into that, and we've shined that up, and look at how proud we are. But they've forsaken the Lord on the Lord's Day. But you've come together for spiritual things. What kind of a gathering do we need to have? What kind of an attitude do we need to have when we're here? And as parents, what can we instill in our children so that they'll be here in years to come? What are the qualities that we want to have? Well, let's come back now to verse 33 and let's unpack this verse. And let's take each word and phrase and statement and see what we can learn from that. The first thing that we find when Peter comes to speak to Cornelius is his attitude that he says there in verse 33. Forthwith, or immediately, therefore I sent to thee, and you have done well that you are come. The first thing that we learn about with regard to an ideal audience is this attitude of knowing that we want to come to worship God, and it's a good thing. You have done well that you are come. They anticipated the coming assembly with great interest. Cornelius is told that a man's going to come to him and preach the word of God to him. He anticipated that. His family anticipated that. There was no apathy. There was no indifference. There was no, do I have to come? Do I have to go to the gospel meeting that starts today, you see? Do I have to come back at 3 p.m.? Do I have to come back on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday to support the meeting? There was none of that. It was an interest. It was a love for coming together to hear what God has to say through Peter. And so our first attitude needs to be that of great interest in coming together. An audience is going to be ideal in the sight of God when we anticipate coming, just like we would anticipate other things. Do you anticipate your favorite meal? Do you anticipate your favorite college team playing on Saturday? Do you anticipate certain things? It's because you enjoy that, you love that. We should love nothing more than coming to worship God. Do we anticipate the coming together? Do we long for it? What a blessing and a privilege it is to come before the Almighty God of the universe. He is King of all the earth. He's created all things, and we get an opportunity to come worship Him on the first day of the week. What a privilege and blessing that is. And we need to instill that in ourselves and in our children, that we love to be here. There's a time and place for other things, but there's nothing more important. We're not going to forsake the Lord. We're going to be here to worship God. I think about the psalmist in Psalm 26 in verse 8. Lord, I love the habitation of thy house, and I want to be here. Psalm 122 in verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It should be something that we long for. It should be something that we're excited about. We get to go sing. We get to pray together. We get to study God's Word together. We get to learn something from God's Word. We need to have that excitement in our life and in our attitude and in our family. It shows God that we want to be here. And it's not an apathy or an indifference. It's not being drugged to services. And sometimes we need to understand, parents, that we'll lose our children later in life if we don't instill this in them. Sometimes you'll hear a parent say, well, I took them to services all their life. I took them to services all their life. And I brought them to services and I drug them to services. And I just can't understand why maybe after they went to college or around those maybe early 20s, they just left and quit. It's because all you did was bring them to services. They didn't instill in themselves that love to be here. You drug them there. You brought them there. You took them there, but they didn't want to be there themselves. And so we need to instill in our children the love to come together. You have done well that you have come. This was an excitement on their part. Do we have that in our lives? We need to have that in our lives. Based upon not just some sentimental feeling, but the true nature of who God is. And studying more of that, preaching more on the nature of God, understanding the greatness of God more, hopefully will encourage us to want to come and be here, to be before His throne. And what a great privilege that is. When you come down through the text, you find something else that Cornelius said. And notice that all of these statements are coming from what we would call a Gentile unbeliever, and he has a great attitude about coming together, and we can certainly learn from him. Notice he says in verse 33, that you have done well that you are come. Now therefore we are all here present. We are all here present. They had an attitude of wanting to be present. In fact, they were waiting for the preacher. They were waiting for the assembly to get started. They were there. They were gathered together. Notice in verse 23 with me, or verse 24, and on the morrow they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them, having called together his kinsmen and near friends. And so it's an attitude of, I'm going to get there early. I'm going to be present. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to be excited about being there. It's not a come in at the last minute or sort of put the Lord into my schedule and I'll pencil him in and try to get him in a little bit, but then I've got to get off and do some other things that are more important on the Lord today. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to have my family there. The young people here this morning, I'm encouraged by that. And I pray for them that they'll be Christians in the days to come and they'll grow up and be the church of the next generation. But sometimes we're leaving them behind. We're letting them go do other things. We're leaving them behind and they're not learning the importance of being here to worship God. There were no absentees, no latecomers, no coming in at the absolute last minute and getting out to be the first one to get out, almost as if we don't want to be here, but a love to come together. Are we all present to worship God? When was the last time there was a service of the Southside congregation where absolutely everyone was present? I'm seeing that that's becoming more and more harder to do because folks want to go off and do other things. And you'll see on the PowerPoint that I put providentially hindered. I was raised on that phrase, providentially hindered. And what old timers meant by that was that we're here. We're always going to be here unless we're providentially hindered. And that meant being sick, because you don't ask to be sick. You don't make yourself sick. You don't try to get up and get sick. That's just in God's providence that you got a head cold. And then number two, inclement weather. You didn't ask for the snow and the ice to be all over the roads. When I was a child, we lived up in Ohio, and there would be times where there would just be heavy snows and you couldn't make it to the church building. One time we walked across the road and just had services with my grandparents. But we call that providentially hindered. Well, what's happening today is not providentially hindered. What's happening today is we're choosing. We're choosing to be gone. We're choosing to go do other things. And it's not God at all. It's us. Are we all going to be here? I'm encouraged by your presence. But will we be here at 3 p.m.? Will it be the same crowd at 3 p.m.? Will it be the same crowd tomorrow night or Tuesday night? You see, have we put it in our schedule and in our time to make the worship of God important things. I'm mindful of the parable of the sower, how that the cares and riches and pleasures of this life just choke out the word. We're getting choked out, and the service is getting choked out. Oh, we've got plenty of things to do. We're choosing to do those things. But it's not because we're providentially hindered. It's because we're not wanting to be here. So let's have that attitude. Of course, the familiar passage, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Forsake not the assembling, as is the custom of some. Some have made a custom of it, even today. And you pretty much know the brethren that will not be present. They've made a custom of letting other things get in mind. And you know that brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they're always going to let something else get in the way. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to forsake the assembling, as is the custom of some. But we're going to come together and provoke one another to stir up unto love and good works. And so we are all here. Look at this next attitude that we find in the Word of God. Back in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, we are all here, but look at it, present in the sight of God. We're present in the sight of God. And right now, God is looking down on you and looking down on me. And He's seen our worship and the worship of all godly brethren around the world. He's able to do that. They understood that they were in God's presence. There was no misbehavior. There was no misconduct. They were all here present to worship God. And that's what I'm seeing this morning. I'm seeing a great conduct of an attentive audience. That's what God wants, brethren. And you're to be thanked for that and blessed for that. And the Lord is pleased by that. But I've been at places where it's been such a distraction that you cannot worship God properly. And being a parent of four children, I understand when they're little some of the things that might go on. We've got a brother, the song leader back there, rocking his son. I understand that. There's going to be situations where they might make some noise, you know. When they're hungry, when they're tired, they might need a changing or something like that. There's going to be situations where there's going to be some extra noise. We all understand that. And we're patient with that. And we work with that. But what I'm talking about this morning is behavior where there's just simply no attempt to try to help that in any way or solve that in any way. And so it's just simply a distraction. And we almost forget why we are here. We're here in the presence of God, to worship the Almighty God of heaven. And so that's why we're gathered, with reverence and respect for God. I've mentioned this to Doug. I haven't mentioned it to the rest of the congregation, but where we're at, we recently had a problem with this earlier in the year, and it divided the church. It divided the church. And some 13 plus members left because of this scenario that I'm about to explain to you. We had a situation where some of the teenagers were cutting up in the service on a regular basis. They were bringing friends, which was great. We encourage young people. In fact, young people, bring your friends this week. You've got school friends, and bring them this week. But this was going on for months and months where they were bringing friends, and they were just talking and cutting up and punching and laughing and just doing all kinds of things toward the back of the building. Brethren were looking over there. Brethren were paying attention more to that than they were at the service. And it was very distracting. It wasn't a one-time thing. It was going on for months and months and months, okay? So understand that. In fact, the parents asked me and one of the other members if I would come over to the house and talk with the young people about that. Well, one Sunday, that was going on. The song leader, after the song was sung, he just simply stopped. It was going on. And he said, I'm not going to call any names. He said, I just want us to remember why we're here. We're here to worship God, and we need to have reverence and respect for that. And then he went on. That's all he did. He didn't point. He didn't call any names. We lost three families over that because they thought that that shouldn't have been done. That was just terrible that that was done. He's a humble man. He was shaking when he said it. He was not trying to cause anybody any problems, but he was trying to remind us of why we're here, and that is we're here to worship God. We lost three families over that within 2 weeks. This is real, brethren. It's a real situation. It's serious. It's real. That what is happening is we're forgetting why we're coming together. I don't think you have a problem with that here. I can see already this morning that that's not an issue. But with many congregations, it is. And we never would have thought that we had to go through that. So, we need to be teaching ourselves and our young people why we are here. My father used to say there's a time and place for everything. And those of you who know me, you know that I like to cut up. I like to cut up and joke. I like to eat. I like to play ball. I like to have a good time. I like to rib people. I like to tell jokes and cut up and have a good time. But my dad always said there's a time and place for everything. This is not the time and place for cutting up and goofing off. Some other time, some other place, have at it, but not here. What's happening, brethren, is this. We're wanting to make the worship service exactly like what goes on at school or what goes on at the movie theater or what goes on at home or somewhere else, and just all places are the same. All places are not the same. This is a different place, a different time, and a different meeting. It's to come before God in worship. And our conduct needs to be proportional to that and needs to meet that. And so Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. Let's be reminded, our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Refuse not Him who speaks. And then in verse 28, let us offer up grace whereby we may offer service well pleasing to God with reverence and awe. Verse 28, for our God is a consuming fire. Our dress needs to be reverent. We're seeing more and more of a casual atmosphere and just constant movement, constant noise, constant casualness, and we're forgetting that we are to come and offer a service that with reverence and awe. We need to be in awe of God each time we come to worship Him. If Cornelius understood that, certainly we can. You know, Cornelius said, back to Acts chapter 10 now, he said, we are here to hear. We are here. That is our purpose. They wanted to listen to the entire message. There was no rejecting of the message. There was no closed minds. There was no listening up to a point. We are here to hear all things that have been commanded thee of the Lord. Open hearts, open minds, open Bibles, open ears to the truth. No wonder we see such a great change at the end of this story. Are we listening to what is said? Are we paying attention? And when Doug preaches and when the elders get up and say things and the Bible class teacher, is our mind open? Our Bible open? Our heart open? Our life open to the truths of God's Word? We are here to hear. There are so many passages in the Word of God that emphasize the importance of keeping our minds open. How does God draw us? John 6:45. He draws us when He teaches us and when we hear Him. Do you remember in Acts chapter 7 and verse 57 when Stephen was preaching, he got to the point it says that they closed their ears. They didn't want to listen to it anymore, and so they stoned him. Do we get to the point where I just don't want to hear it? No, we need to keep our ears open to all things. Paul preached the whole counsel of God in Acts 20 and verse 27. And no matter what it is that comes from God's Word, if it steps on my toes, I'm still going to listen to it. If it steps on my toes and it's something that is addressing me, I'm still going to be open and I'm going to be humble and contrite. And I'm going to try to go home and make those changes. Turn with me to Acts chapter 22 and verse 22. Do you remember that when Paul was preaching there on the steps of Jerusalem? And we're going to talk about this afternoon, how he asked if he could say something. And we need to make those doors of opportunity open up. But he begins to speak in Acts chapter 22, and he's basically talking about his conversion. It's one of the cases, what we call the conversion of Saul, Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. And he gets down there, and he's talking about how that he was baptized into Christ, Acts 22:16. And he tells them how that God wanted him to go to the Gentiles. Look at verse 21. Depart, for I will send thee far from here unto the Gentiles. And the audience gave him... And they gave him audience unto this word, and they lifted up their voice and said, away with such a fellow. He's talking to Jews. And the Jews listen to him. They listen to him. And they're listening, they're attentive, and he's going down telling about his conversion. But when he said the word Gentile, boom, they stopped. They gave him audience, they listened, up to this word, and then boom, that's it. And we've got to be careful about that. We come to hear everything that God wants us to hear. And some of that may be something that goes against what we believe or think or feel or the way that we're living or what we need to do to become a Christian. Maybe we've been told that we're saved by faith only. And we're hearing Doug preach a sermon how that faith is not faith alone, but active faith that's going to lead to obedience in baptism. But when he said that, I'm just not going to listen anymore. But I've been taught that once you're saved, you're always saved. And then I'm hearing Doug stand up there saying, no, you can fall away. You can be lost. But as soon as he said that, I'm just not going to listen anymore, even though it's coming from the Scripture. So we've got to keep our ears open, you see, to all things that are said. What a great attitude, because faith comes by hearing. And our faith is only as strong as we keep our ears open to the Word of God. They said to hear all things commanded. They wanted to hear a message from God's Word. No entertainment. No social events. It's already been announced that after services, we're going to go to the home of some brethren, and we appreciate their hospitality and opening up their home. Nobody likes to eat more than I do, but we are here to hear things that are commanded. There's a time and place for everything, and this is not the time and place for social events and recreational events and entertainment. It's for the hearing of God's Word and the worshiping of God. Are we coming for the purpose of worship or for some other purpose? And only we can answer that. Let us come to worship the Almighty God of heaven. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, they were in the temple worshiping God. They were at home enjoying those social and recreational things with their friends. But in the temple, they were worshiping God. In Acts 20 and 7, they gathered together to break bread. That was the purpose of coming together. It was not for entertainment. And in 1 Corinthians 11, when some tried to make the Lord's Supper just a common meal, Paul said, you don't know why you're coming together. You're coming together for the wrong purpose, you see. And in 1 Corinthians 14, beginning in verse 26, they were to come together to be edified, to worship God, and there was not to be any kind of confusion going on there. So we need to remind ourselves. And I remember riding along in the car as a child, my parents would remind me, Chris, why are we going? Why are we going to services? What are we going to do there? Remind our children why we are coming. And then those things that were commanded by the Lord. They wanted to hear God's commandments, not man's opinions, not what the scholars say, like we studied this morning, not some pop psychology of what the latest leaders are saying or doctors are saying. But what does the Word of God say? Bible-based classes, Bible-based sermons, you see. Are we demanding truth from the pulpit? Are we demanding Bible from the pulpit, from our preachers and our teachers? I believe you are. I know the good brethren here are, and that's a great thing. But that's not the case everywhere. And we need to be reminded that we are here to hear what God commands, not what God suggests, but what God commands. And so 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4, we are to be busy preaching and teaching the Word of God. And Paul warns there about a problem, and if it was a problem then, it can certainly be a problem today. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust. That's the audience. We want something other than the Word of God. We want something that's going to tickle our ears and make us feel good. And there may be auditoriums full of hundreds or thousands of people who get tickled ears every Sunday, but it's not the Word of God. As an audience, we need to demand Scripture. This is an ideal audience. We'll close with this point. The lesson is yours. What happened at the end of this story? They were baptized into Christ. These people were changed. Cornelius and his household, first Gentile converts brought to Christ. Why were they changed? Why were they converted? Why did they become Christians? Because of their attitude during the audience portion of it. There'd be no baptism at the end of this story if they'd been cutting up and goofing off. There'd be no baptism at the end of this story if they wanted something other than the commands of the Lord. By the way, in verse 48, He commanded them to be baptized. Verse 33, they already wanted to hear the commandments of the Lord. So when one of the commandments, verse 48, was baptism, they just gladly did that. We just want to do what God says. They were saved. They obeyed. They were changed. In these passages in chapter 10, 11, when Paul talks about it again in chapter 15, he talks about the conversion of Cornelius in those passages there. Why? Because of their attitude as an audience. And with an audience like this today here at Southside and other congregations, at each service, we'll be changed too. You know, the lost will be saved. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel. Baptism is a command. And you need to wash away your sins in that baptism if you haven't done that. The lost will be saved when we just simply want to do what God says. And the saved will be strengthened. And I hope among the brethren this morning, I have helped you to be strengthened. What kind of an audience are we? Looking out over the audience this morning, I see one I believe that would be very similar to what Peter stood before. And it's a pleasure to stand before a group that is attentive and wanting to come for spiritual things. We can get a lot done in the Lord's service when the preacher has the right qualities and when the audience has the right qualities. And I, from time to time, am not preaching. I'm sitting. I might be listening to Doug, or I might come up here to a gospel meeting. I heard Andy earlier in the year, Andy Alexander. I'm an audience member. It applies to me too. We have to have the right attitude. And we'll be pleasing to God, but great things will happen. We'll leave changed. We'll leave changed. We'll leave in a good condition, right relationship with God when we come and we focus on the right thing. I hope that this has helped. And remember that we're in the sight of God right now as we stand and sing this song of encouragement. You may need to respond to the gospel in some way. We would encourage you to come. God is watching. He wants you to come. He wants you to obey. And if we can assist you, why won't you do that as we stand and sing?